to celebrate. Well, last week we began a new message series called Forgotten Virtues. You know, it's like the story of the guy who walks in some ancient old building and pulls out a book and opens it up and finds all kinds of cool things that everybody has forgotten that matter so much. I sometimes think that's going to happen with the Bible someday. But we have forgotten some things as a nation, as a people, and I feel really, really strong about that. Last week we talked about the virtue of honor. We have forgotten how to honor people. And there's a lot of people that are honorable and deserve our thanks for that. This week is loyalty, and then we're going to talk about gratitude and integrity over the next few weeks following that. But today is loyalty. Now, if I would ask you, how many of you would say that you're a pretty loyal person? Raise your hand. Any loyal? Raise your hand if you're loyal. Come on now. Come on. Don't be shy. I see some people nodding. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's really, really interesting because I did a little survey and I asked people of all these virtues, which one is most missing and most important in our world, and loyalty came out on top. Michigan and Notre Dame fans, and they're very loyal. Okay, so back to Michigan football. Okay, anyway, yes, loyalty. So most people think that they're pretty loyal, and they think that loyalty's a big, big thing, but they think in our world today, disloyalty is a really big problem. And so I ask you, how many of you thought you were loyal, and just about all of you raised your hands, which makes me conclude that we must be a very, very loyal church. Would you say that's true? Which makes me conclude that all the churches around us must be very disloyal because all the loyal people come here, right? I mean, okay, they're loyal too. But, you know, it's interesting. Basically, all of us think that we are pretty loyal, and yet it is such a problem in our society, and that brings me to my notes for the day, and it is simply this. I want you to note that disloyalty is very difficult to see in the mirror. I mean, we all say I'm a loyal person. Unless you push me too far, I'm going to be loyal to you. Unless you, and if I'm not loyal to you, I just want you to know it's your fault. Because you pushed me too far. I mean, that's kind of how we think today. I was in a skit many years back. It was on a Good Friday, probably 25 years ago. And it was a skit remembering the final events of Jesus' life, and I played the role of Judas Iscariot. My wife said it was typecasting, really. Didn't you, dear? But this friend of mine played the role of Peter, the disciple who just forgot he was a disciple there for a while. And anyway, we're in the middle of the skit, and all of a sudden, we get to this point where I forget my lines. I mean, I completely forgot what I was supposed to say. That ever happened to you in front of a crowd? I forgot what I was supposed to say, and I looked at him in such a way that it appeared to the crowd that he forgot what he was supposed to say, and it really wasn't my fault after all. After the service was over, he said, You threw me under the pew today. I thought we were friends, and you were my pastor. You threw me under the pew. And I'm like, if somebody's got to go under the pew, baby, it's you. Because I'm loyal. To me. To me. All of us are probably pretty loyal to ourselves. There's a famous story of disloyalty in the New Testament. We just mentioned him, this guy who claimed that he would be loyal to Jesus above anybody else, and he constantly said, Jesus, I got your back. I will be there for you. I will be there for you. I'm loyal. And a few verses later, we discover he's not really loyal at all. In Matthew 26, verse 33, Peter said simply, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I won't deny you. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered him, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown. That's a stronger word even than deny. You will disown me three times. And Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will never. And all the rest of them say the same. Even if I have to die with you, I wouldn't possibly ever disown you. I will be completely loyal to you. And then hours and hours later, that's all it was, three different people came up to Peter and said, you were the one with Jesus, right? And he's like, Jesus who? I don't know what you're talking about. And the rooster crows and I think Peter probably remembers Jesus saying, before the rooster crows, you will deny me, you will disown me three times. And the rooster crows and this is how the story ends. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. True loyalty is proven. It is not proclaimed. It is proven. You can say you're loyal, but you know, show us the loyalty. It says in Proverbs, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? A faithful man who can find? Who can you count on in the middle of the night if you need help? Who do you call? I must have been thinking about that when I went to bed last night, because I had a dream that I called someone about 3 a.m. last night and woke you up. You were not pleased. That was in my dream. And I said, ooh, I thought it was 3 p.m. I'm sorry. And then how many of you would answer the phone if I called at 3 a.m? Anybody? You would? Now, I would answer the phone. We have cell phones. I would answer the phone if it rang. Do you know what I'm, any of you with me there? If it rang? Because you just never know about those cell phones. But I had this dream. Loyalty is proven. It is not really proclaimed. And we've got to learn as followers of Christ to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. I mean, actually do what Jesus would have us do. One of my favorite stories of loyalty comes from the Brooklyn Dodgers back in 1947. That was the year Jackie Robinson joined the team, broke the color barrier, became the first African-American Major League Baseball player, and he was a second baseman, and he got death threats, he got cat calls from the stands. I mean, it was horrible. He got some horrible, horrible treatment. But his shortstop, who was next to him, was a guy named Pee Wee Reese. And they went to Cincinnati, the Brooklyn Dodgers, to play the Reds. My wife was a Reds fan when she was a kid, but she got over it. Did you get over it?
I got over it.
She got over it. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And they went to play the Reds, and the crowd started booing Jackie Robinson and calling him names. And I mean, it was just, the game couldn't even go on. It was so loud and it was so mean. And Pee Wee Reese, just a few feet away from him, was so angry. He took his glove and threw it on the ground, went over and put his arm around Jackie Robinson. And the crowd was so stunned, all of a sudden there was utter silence. And Jackie Robinson said, that day, Pee Wee Reese not only saved my baseball career, he probably saved my life. He probably saved my life. And I think he probably did. A loyal friend. There's a lot of stories in the Bible that I could talk to you about that would express loyalty. From the Old Testament, there's a famous one with David and Jonathan, his good friend. But I'm going to tell you one that you probably have not heard. It's about a soldier. It's about King David. And the context is this. King David's son, Absalom, had murdered somebody. And Absalom ran away. He fled because he was now a wanted man. And in his 3 years away, he began to politic with all the folks in the land, trying to persuade them that King David should be overthrown and that he should be king. And in the middle of that, King David just about gave up being king at all. But this guy showed up named Ittai. How many of you would name your kid Ittai? Son, your name is Ittai. Yeah. Well, the king said, this guy showed up right in the middle of all this. He's a mercenary. He's a hired gun, commander of 600 men. He had no real commitment to David. At least it wouldn't seem he did. He just volunteered. I'm going to help you out, David, right in the middle of this. I'm going to help you out. And the king said to Ittai the Gittite, that's better yet, isn't it? Ittai the Gittite, oh boy. Why should you come along? Why would you come along with us, go back and stay with King Absalom? That's the son who was trying to get him. Because really, if there's a king, it's him. I give up. You are a foreigner exiled from your homeland. You only came yesterday. Go back and take your countrymen. May kindness and faithfulness be with you. But Ittai replied to the king, I love this, as surely as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means life or death, there your servant will be. I'll be there. I know some of you remember 9/11, that horrible day that is kind of etched in our minds permanently. I remember when all of that hit, and I remember thinking, I guess I should go serve my country. Now, I didn't figure I was strong enough, fast enough, young enough to be a soldier. But I said, you know, I'm a pastor. I could go be a chaplain. I could serve my country. And I remember my mother saying to me, well, I'm glad you feel that way because your nephews told me they wouldn't serve the country for anything. And I'm like, really? I could hardly believe it, you know. But in the case of this story, this guy named Ittai is loyal to the king, even though he just met him. A great story of loyalty. If you are looking for opportunities, there are many opportunities to be disloyal with your life. Lots of chances, lots of relationships we can mess up on, and the first one, we could be disloyal to our country, I suppose, but. That's not primarily what we're talking about. The one I wanted to think about is it's easy to be disloyal to your spouse. Easy to be disloyal to your spouse. And this is what it says in Malachi 2:15. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he is talking about a godly offspring. So guard yourselves in the spirit, Malachi says. Don't break faith with the wife of your youth. Didn't the Lord give her to you and make you one? Remain loyal. And then it says in Malachi 2:16, For I hate divorce. There's also a line that says simply to divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty. Overwhelmed with cruelty. And so Malachi says, guard your wife. Do not be unfaithful. Even as I say that, I know that we live in a nation, half or even more, marriages break up. And I know that we live in a nation where half of the folks who remain married are yet unfaithful to their spouse. And that's pretty hard to understand because basically we say we're a loyal person. And yet, I have a friend who was a master at being disloyal to his spouse. He didn't commit adultery. You can be disloyal in a lot of ways. He just he just teased her day and night whenever they were with a crowd. He said the meanest things, and he would always end his saying by saying, "Oh, I'm just kidding." And everybody in the place knew he wasn't just kidding. You ever heard somebody do that? Or you can be disloyal in other things. You know, you take your wife out to dinner, and there she is, the beauty of your life, and you're spending all your time oogling and staring at the waitress as she walks by, and you can be pretty disloyal. And your wife kicks you in the shin, and you probably deserved it. A lot of ways to be disloyal. Ladies can be disloyal in the way they dress. Now, I'm not trying to be all prim and proper, nothing like that, but if you're dressing to get guys to stare at you other than your husband, it's probably a problem, you know. Now, I'm sounding like an old prude, I suppose. Another place you could be disloyal, I think, is with your friends. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need. How are you disloyal to your friends? Well, you could gossip about them. I can't believe the way they're spending money. You could listen as other people gossip about them. You could listen. That's disloyal too, because if you're loyal, you probably would say, "Hey, this is my friend you're talking about. Just knock it off. Just, I don't want to hear this." This is my friend. There's so many opportunities to be disloyal. And a lot of people have seemed to take up the opportunity to be disloyal when it comes to Christ's church. You know, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a member of Christ's church, capital C, church. What is the church? The church is all people on this earth who believe in Jesus Christ. We're all in the same family. We might go to a church that one looks different than another, and that's okay, you know, but we're all in the same family. In fact, there are 2 billion people on the earth today that would claim they are Christians, so I'm in a big family. How about you? I mean, that's a big family. And if you think that's not a lot of Christians, if you took all the Christians and you stacked them up and you added them up, all the Christians that ever existed till about 1950, it would not equal the amount of Christians who are alive in the world today. There were not 2 billion before that. Isn't that amazing? It's, you know, you can be disloyal to the big church just by living your life in a way that would not glorify God. You can also be disloyal to a local church by spreading gossip, negativity, and all of that stuff. But in the New Testament times, they believed the church was the greatest gathering on earth, and they sold out to Jesus, and it is amazing, as they are described in Acts 2:42. It says this about them. This is how disciples lived in the church. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Devoted to fellowship and to sharing in meals. That included the Lord's Supper and to prayer. They were devoted to all of those things. And then it goes on to say all the believers were together and they had everything in common. And then it says, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had a need. And you could look at that and you could say, that's communism. All I have to say is, no, it's not. It's somebody who sees the need of a friend and says, I can do something about it, so I'm going to. It's just really as simple as that. If I can, why would I not? And then it says, every day they met together in the temple courts. Every day. Every day. Do you know how often the average Christian attends church in America today? Anybody know how often? On average, one Sunday a month. One. Used to be two. Now it's one. I would say in the middle of all that, there's probably busy lives, but there's also some disloyalty going on, you know, because in the days of the early church, they didn't say, I want a little Jesus and I want a lot of what I want to do. They said, I want a lot of Jesus, and that's the priority of my life. I want a lot of of Jesus. I want him to be the center of everything. Sometimes today people think that they are consumers of church. I'm a consumer of church, so I go to church until the church does something I don't like, then I don't go to church anymore. I just consume it. I go to church and suddenly the church doesn't meet all of my needs, so I go and look for one that does, because there's a lot of churches out there after all. I mean, that's being a consumer of the church. If you realize that the church is not really a place where you go, but that you are the church, you are Christ to the world around you, it makes you entirely different. You think of things very, very differently. The church isn't a place. The church is a relationship with the living God, and we are to spread that. So disloyalty can be born out of a lot of things, but you wonder, where does it come from? I just want to say it comes from a divided heart. I'm committed to you, God, about this much. I'm committed to me, God, about that much. A divided heart. Do I do what God wants me to do in my life? Do I do it every day? Do I think on him every day, or do I just kind of go through the motions? There's a lot of church members, honestly, that just do church. Just do church. I mean, but that's different than being church. Jesus said the most important commandment is this, and I bet you know this one. It's a big one. Love the Lord your God with all your and with all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, with everything you got. Love God. And I read that and I feel convicted. Convicted. I dated a girl back in high school. It was before Carrie. If I would have met her in fourth grade, we would have got married then, because it was just impossible for me to get her out of my mind once we met. But it was before Carrie, and it's a good thing I didn't meet her in fourth grade. And this girl that I dated, she had a pin, said Jesus first. Anybody remember those pins a long time ago? Said Jesus first. Man, dude, you don't remember it? You're going, come on now. Uh-huh. Well, must be I'm older than the rest of you. So the pin said Jesus first, and she said, I put that pin on my dresser, and I looked at it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then one day I realized Jesus was not first. He was not first in my life, and I didn't like it. And I made him first. You know, sometimes I think we could all say we're double-minded. You know, is he really first, or are my wishes ahead of his wishes? Some people have asked me over the years, how could you be a pastor that is in an itinerant system? Do you know what that means? That means when I go to a church, I don't go there because I asked to go, but I go there because the bishop appoints me to go. And I said simply, years ago, I said, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. You direct those people to tell me what to do, and I'll go. Some people think I'm out of my mind. Amen? Now, how would you like to be in an itinerant system? Anybody with me? I don't know what my kids would have said, but they weren't around at that point, so I guess it didn't much matter. But I said, God, you're in charge. Look what James says. He says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Draw near. And then he says, I love this, wash your hands, you sinners. Come on. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Divided loyalty. Let tears flow. Let there be sorrow. Let there be deep grief. Wash your hands. You know, the closer I get to God, the more I realize how far I've got to go. You know, the closer I get to him, the more I realize there's a lot more of him that I don't know. And I suspect it'll be that way the rest of my life. Because the closer, it's kind of like an onion. You see the outer layer, you think you know what an onion is. But there's layers and layers and layers when it comes to God I'm not quite there. The closer to Him, the closer I want to be. And sometimes when I discover that I am disloyal, it grieves me. It really does. It tears me apart. What am I doing? I say to myself, what am I doing? Sometimes when I'm not really very loyal to my wife by how I talk to her or pick on her or whatever, I say, but what am I doing? Sometimes when I forget to call a friend who I haven't seen in a while, I forget to call a friend, I should ask myself, what am I doing? A friend called me this last week who I hadn't talked to in probably a year and a half, and we were on the phone for a good hour, and I just thought, why had I not called him? Thank God he was loyal to me, you know? But why? And when I think about my faith and I realize, how am I doing in that love, God, with all your heart, your soul, and mind stuff, I think, why am I? And what's the remedy? I think James would say, okay, here's the remedy. If you've been disloyal to your spouse, go and confess. If you've been disloyal to a friend, go and confess. If you've been disloyal to God, go and confess. Come close to Him. I love that. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. Just come on. Scrub yourself down. Wash your hands. Why do you wash your hands? They've probably done some things that maybe they shouldn't have done. Purify your heart. This morning I want to give you a chance to as a little symbol of purifying the heart, I want to give you a chance in a few minutes to come and wash your hands during the closing song. And if you come up here or over there, I will pour a little water on your hand, and though it looks rusty, it is as pure as the driven snow. You're like, uh-huh. And we have paper towel you can dry your hands on as a symbol. Sometimes I need a symbol. Sometimes I need to be reminded. And that's what I'm going to invite you to do. Why don't we bow our heads in prayer first, okay? Father, I just thank you that you are true to us even when we are not true to you. And I ask that you would wash not only our hands, but that you would cleanse our hearts, that you would remove from us anything that is unpure, that is unrighteous, that is not right. God, help us to be the people you created us to be. And Father, I just thank you that you are very, very eager and willing to give us new life. And I ask, oh God, that you help us cling to that life and cling to you this morning. And if there's someone here who's never experienced that life in Christ, all you got to do is say, Dear Jesus, I want to give my life to you. Please take my sins away. And Jesus will say, Good to have you home, kid. I'm glad you're here. Maybe you've known him for a long time. You've just been away. He's ready to... He's ready to fellowship with you now. God, may the good news of your love be evident in our life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.